traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It was like a psychological jackass where I did things like I had a fight with my dad, a boxing match with my dad. I had a bath with a homeless guy. I manually masturbated off another man. I'm heterosexual, so that wasn't an easy move for me. And I tried to seduce a little old lady.
Can we back up just one?
That's such a long-ass time. You've been rolling for 20 minutes.
That's pretty long. It's the longest, I think.
The fuck are you?
Yo.
Who?
What's good?
What's really good?
What are you doing?
I like plants.
You got hey.
Cut the shit.
Hey, I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it.
What am I doing?
You're not Spencer, and you're never going to be Spencer.
I'm not trying to be Spencer.
You're sitting in a seat, and you're a vegan like Spencer.
Yes, I was invited on the podcast.
By who?
By Logan.
That's true. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Guys, Andre is normally behind that camera.
That's facts.
Dave, the German, is behind it now. And Andre, I invited him on this podcast. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You invited yourself, and you coerced me. And, because I think he's going to provide a lot of value considering who today's guest is. Also, considering that you made it happen, along with Smiley Kylie, who is there and also got her hair dyed like I did. At the same time, that is crazy, a crazy coincidence. But are you okay? Mike's not happy.
Staring, death staring.
Hey,
at
hey.
Me.
It's just hard for us.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No taken.
Okay, so what's going on? We had an interesting morning. Now that we're back into the vlogs, which if you've seen, we're doing that now. It is a little chaotic at the house. This morning we flipped a lawnmower upside down in Mike's room to wake him up and dropped fruit in it.
It's starting. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I have probably about 3 shows left, okay? Because I'm becoming a dropshipper. I've moved into the e-com space, DTC, passive income, ad optimization, CTR, CPM, CPCs.
For the past 2 days in a row.
Arbitrage.
I've been in the shower, butt ass naked, and Mike walks in screaming, "We need passive income. But I'm naked. Like, my penis out, and I'm hearing about passive fucking income. I don't care. I just want to get clean. But he's right. He's right, by the way. And drop shipping, if you don't know, you can be 19 years old and make $600,000 a month.
$1.3 million. And he started off wiping windows, and his name's Buzz.
It's a big business. Before we bring the guests on, can I just talk about something that irks me? I'm hard to irk.
Ooh, I want to talk about this, too. I saw your screen. This is a big one.
I've seen you get irked a few times in my days.
Yeah, I do get irked sometimes. Caitlyn fucking Bennett, the gun girl,
we're mad,
is going mad viral on Twitter and has for the past, I think like week or 2 weeks, just for like hassling people and people handling her appropriately, the way that she probably like deserves to be handled.
How
for
is she
her
being
antics.
Handled?
Like, she gets shut down and her ideas are often made fun of because of her approach, which we talked about when she was on our show. She goes looking for trouble. Yeah. She goes to spark controversy and get a reaction out of people. That's her show. The problem is the social media audience, which is mostly liberal, is not a fan of her at all.
I don't even think the conservatives are a fan of her. I in all honesty, this Caitlyn Bennett up. I hate to say this. We had her on the show. We were very cordial with her. The video still remains. You can go watch it as we speak. It's still up. Right.
I'm actually going to remove the Caitlyn Bennett video. Right now, the podcast, episode 41.
We've been talking about this. The reason she's viral right now is she just went to the Gay Pride Parade to ask leading questions, to cause a fucking scene. And honestly, I got stuck in a hole for 1 hour last night watching these videos. And I there is no excuse. It's painful.
Let me play the video. So, and this, you may have seen this on Twitter. She had an interaction with a cop at the Pride Parade.
You clearly don't like what they're up to.
I don't care what they're up
then
to.
Then go away.
Then why
there's
would
no
you
reason
want
to interview
investigate?
Anyone.
Yes, okay. There
You're
is.
Free to be about your business. Please don't get any more complaints.
I don't know why you're making accusations about me. You're an officer. You're supposed to know the truth.
I'm not making any accusations other than what I believe
is taking place. It's supposed to be the truth.
Here is what I believe is taking place. Because you're hanging the microphone in my face. You're playing these silly games.
Because you're an officer and you're supposed to uphold the law and the First Amendment.
I am holding you up. Have you been handcuffed yet?
So this is like a 2-minute interaction of her just poking the cop. And he makes a comment like, please, can you just make sure you're safe and maybe not be here and stop antagonizing so I can go protect someone who actually needs to be protected? And by the way, kudos to this cop.
He crushed
it. He's a fucking
hero. You should
hero.
Go watch this he's entire a- scene. It's actually about 5 minutes long. This is a 2-minute clip of it. I watched the entire scene last night. And it's very frustrating. She claims to be someone who wants to protect and portray the police and our servicemen and women as, you know, top level and important to the country. And then she goes and fucking pokes him repeatedly after he was extremely patient with her. And honestly, like, it's just, it's
like why you at the, why is Caitlin Bennett gun girl at the Pride Parade? Why is she there?
Well, we know why she's there, to poke people and to get a reaction. And then to flip that reaction, to drive positive sentiment for this fringe belief on the right side that everyone is, that every liberal is a psychopath, screaming maniac. She picked, handpicked every time someone yelled, every time someone pushed her, and turned it into a montage. What you don't see is the first 3 hours of her being there berating people who are celebrating their livelihood and their gay pride. Like it's painful and it hurts me to watch. And honestly, while I was watching it last night, I was going to tweet about it. I was going to say something about it last night. And the reason why I almost hate doing this right now is because the reason she does it is for this discourse to happen on this fucking show and for her to get another 1 million fucking views and for people to talk about it. That is, make no mistake, that is why she does it.
But she's definitely in the realm where she's on social anyways, completely discredited. At least on Twitter anyways, like no one takes this girl serious. I don't know how she goes out in public safely. I have no idea, probably because she always has a camera on her. She's probably carrying, but like I really do try to give people the benefit of the doubt, especially coming from someone who has been through controversy and who has been hated and knows what it feels like to be under a microscope. But when you show zero signs of
change
or improvement or anything, like we had her on this show and she's the first guest that I'll say, like, I'm ashamed that I had her on the show. And for that reason, I'm deleting the episode with Caitlin Bennett, the gun girl.
Do you want to request a review first?
No, I think we did.
And understand, this is not a stunt. What she's going to do now is she's going to clip this part of the show. She's going to put it on her Twitter and say, the impulsive boys think my conservative speech offends them. So they deleted our episode. Like, this is liberal brainwashing. Okay, that's exactly what I know exactly how this girl works, how every piece she moves on the puzzle or on the chessboard works. I said to her on this show, I said, it really sucks because you're a sweet girl, you're smart, you're driven, and you have the ability to do good things for the right. Unfortunately, she never took the note that once you get the eyes on, sometimes you need to come back to fucking earth. She could right now, she could remold her narrative and start to say things and act in a civil fucking way. And she's not doing. She's antagonizing gay and lesbian. She's going to Bernie Sanders crowds and getting kicked out and starting fucking problems at the rally. She's a problem. No one is listening to anything she says and saying, this girl is driving better conversation or better discourse in America.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
they're saying this girl is out of her fucking mind, and the only people that side with her are the very, very fringe right.
The bottom line is this. Caitlyn Bennett, get your shit straight and out of your pants.
Wow. I didn't know. I'm not.
Our guest today is a comedian, a movie star, an author, a spiritual leader, and at one point, one half the most famous celebrity couple in the world. He's the symbol of recovery and the host of the immensely popular and helpful podcast, Under the Skin on Luminary. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my friend, Russell Brand. My guy.
That was really good.
Thanks, man. Thank
really
you, man.
Good introduction, and the whole bit before the introduction was good. You're really good at this.
Thanks,
well
man.
Well done.
Thank you.
Do you have any thoughts on? Do you know the girl, Caitlyn Bennett?
Everything I know about Caitlyn Bennett, I learned just then. And but that's not going to stop me having a strong opinion on this. I've never let not knowing something about a subject prevent me from having an opinion.
Really?
Get in there. Ask me about anything.
I love that on this show.
What do you think about underwater basket weaving?
But underwater basket weaving is a hateful pursuit. It's Nazi. It's racist.
That it is.
It's anti-octopus. I mean, like, she... Yeah, she. It sounds to me like she's got herself a little bit lost in some. Like, it's interesting when you get caught up in controversy and get a little bit addicted to that frequency. It sounds like she's gotten into it. I couldn't see her because the TV screen was around the corner a little bit. All I could see was you drinking a barrel of what I assume is protein.
3 gallons a day, water.
Of water. I drink good old water.
Drink a lot of water.
This is exciting.
Oh, this is very exciting.
I've been a fan for big time. I remember seeing you as a star of Gladiator, as well as Man of Steel, Beautiful Mind, it looks like.
Oh, I see. Russell Crowe. I understand.
We had a whole comedy. Fucking skit.
We had a joke
plan.
He's too quick.
No joke's gonna get by Russell.
Damn it. Obviously kidding. Huge fan.
Comedian.
Massive fan of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. All of your movies. This is an awesome moment for sure.
Thanks.
I told you when I came on your podcast. Like that was a big deal for me. And thanks for coming on ours. Our podcast.
I'm fascinated to be here. I've never been in an environment with like a fusion, like an amalgam of a house and a studio. And it's like in the car, I was reflecting on what it might be like this sort of testosterone-fueled creator content citadel.
Yep.
And I just assumed it would be a sort of marijuana and farts. Like that's
what You're not wrong.
But it's a lot better. The interior design is a lot better than I assumed. This studio is super professional. We use a lot on the cutting edge. It's impressive.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I feel like the only thing that makes it professional is Brad over there at the helm.
Well done, Brad.
He's our engineer.
The nucleus.
And it does look like the inside of like SpongeBob's butthole. We might do a rearrangement.
Rebrand.
Yeah, a rebrand of the set soon. A re-Russell brand.
Well done.
Our podcast, I showed it to my friend Mac was listening, and Jed watched it, who's our street relations guy, and they both said that it was... the best version of Logan Paul they had ever seen on social media.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm saying, well, you brought out a very good side of me. Yeah.
I feel personally proud and aroused that I've brought out the best side of Logan Paul. I've saw a lot of things in you. I've been thinking about you a little bit in healthy, safe ways, not in this sort of shower setup, naked and like talking about passive income while startled and naked, having moments before used a lawnmower as an upturned fun device. I don't know how you people are living. This is like, yeah, what Jackass started, you guys are finishing. What I feel like is, look, it's interesting when you get immersed in celebrity. You know, I can't imagine what it's like when it's on a new frontier like you're on. It must be crazy. But ultimately, we all discover the same things, that you can't make yourself happy solely through the pursuit of material gain. Although when you're good at anything, it's kind of rewarding and used a lot of clearly at the vanguard. But what I feel like most people that get immersed into fame sooner or later realize, oh, this is, as it's famously said, a mask that eats into the face of the wearer. It's not a good look for anybody, really, ultimately.
Does that realization happen more than once? because I had it once.
Yeah, you go in and out of it. That's my experience of enlightenment, is you have moments where you realize, yes, we are all one. Everything is love. Nothing matters. All that matters is service of others, being kind. And then you think, well, no, I just want some money and get my dick sucked. You know, like you drift in and out of awareness and connection. It's difficult to sustain a state of awareness and connection, particularly if you live in an overly stimulating environment that's bombarding you with the idea that to be successful, you've got to have a lot of money, or you've got to be sleeping around, or whatever it is, whatever download you've bought into.
Is that life, though? Because I've always said, like, with most of my pursuits, endeavors, journeys, whatever it is, like, it crests and troughs, waves. So there's ups and there's downs, and I'm constantly going back and forth. Even in my life, like, I'm a pretty extreme person. The last quarter of last year after my fight, partying, drinking, sex, escapades, like, the exact opposite of the life that I'm living now, or was living in the middle of last year. Is it, I guess I'm saying, is it realistic to try to live a life where you're pretty much on the same playing field the whole time?
Possibly not, but I think it would be nice that, you know, the gesture you did was a sort of a flat line. Like, and of course, you know, flat line normally means death, vacillation, and movement is an integral part of life. But I think it's good to cultivate a connection with something that can withstand things going up and down on the outside, like that you don't feel like when if things go great for you, I'm fantastic. If things go bad, oh no, I'm ruined, I'm nothing. You know, we don't want our personal well-being to be entirely subjected to external stimuli and external endorsement, and the only way out of that, I know, is through a spiritual path, through the cultivation of a spiritual path. As long as the methods that we're pursuing in order to achieve happiness are methods prescribed to us by a capitalist consumer society, then we may achieve the results. Yous lot are succeeding by that method.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's going to be very, very hard for you to see the light because you're achieving the glory.
I need you to slow down.
he does it a lot.
I need you to slow down.
He does it a lot.
Because I will tell you this. I am spiritually underdeveloped, okay, to say the very fucking least. Okay, and I would assume
we're gonna fast track you, my lad.
You used the word citadel. You used some massively
right off the bat,
amazing
too.
Words yeah. there. What is the fast track, or what is the beginner level for someone who is spiritually and emotionally challenged, like me and 89% of the people watching this? Where did this journey start for you?
For me, it began with extreme indulgence, drug addiction, sex addiction, fame addiction, wanting other people's approval, wanting money. And each time I interface with them extreme spaces, with that extreme stimuli, realizing that it can't do the thing that I want it to.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Someone told me once he was a Swami, you know, like a priest wrapped in a blanket, shaved head. Swami. Like Andre's next step.
Yes.
The natural move.
By the way, Andre, you're doing great so far.
Thanks. Haven't said much.
Yeah, I do have a question. I would radiating? Like to bounce off that. He said to me that all desire is the inappropriate substitute for the desire to be at one with God. Now, it don't necessarily mean a prescriptive God from any particular theological discipline or tradition, but the idea of wholeness, union, oneness, that the illusion of separateness causes us pain. And we'll realize that continually for our life. Like you were saying before, Logan, you go in and out of it. Sometimes you feel like, I have everything I need. Yep. I know how to be of service. Yep. And then before you know it, you start to feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. Yep. I want a better boyfriend, a better girlfriend. I need more money. I need a better body. I need, like, you know, these things, we're inundated with messages that tell us that we are not enough, because people that think they're enough do not behave like good little consumers. They don't continually try to buy their way out of the emotional deficit that they are inculcated, you'll like that word, Mike, into having.
Amazing.
Through a culture that demands that we express ourselves mostly through economic means.
Would you say that it was a series of shifts, or was there like a specific shift in mind that happened when you shifted, like when people are searching for true happiness, and I see Logan goes into ups and downs of this, it's like climbing a mountain that has no top, in a sense. Finding success and or true happiness through external means is like a never-ending path. And was there a shift for you where you took that look, you know, that search for true happiness, you know, from the external to the internal?
There was loads, but it's always ongoing. Question. It was a bloody good question. They're doing live commentary, DVD commentry on the question while it's happening. Oh, Andre, there's with a question.
It's his first show.
No way.
Yeah. Russell, just so let's fill you in a little bit.
We're doing it together.
Yeah, amazing. Yes.
We're all right, aren't we? So you two are veterans.
Yes. Yeah.
We are ingenues out here for the first time. Precises. A couple of pretty little debutantes in our party finery, our little frocks up on our thighs, a posy in our palms.
We ain't as good at linguistics as we thought. Yeah. We're fucked. Dude.
I want your diction.
Russell, Spencer, our in-house vegan, our on-show spiritual liaison. Got so spiritually invested that he is now on a multi-year barefoot journey through the woods of Kauai. He will never, ever come back to the mainland. I assure you.
Ever.
He is gone.
He used to sit in that seat 149 episodes.
And so
now he's just off in the woods with no shoes and socks on.
Gone.
No shoes. He's
with a bunch of clouded up vegans, dude. Oh, just wow. Full of followers. And Andre has joined us to replace him. And so this is today, at least. So this is his first show, and he's off to a great start. On your note.
Wait.
Sorry, go ahead.
I would like to answer the question.
Go for it.
Yeah, when was the realization from external to internal?
Yeah, both of you.
Where can it happen? Only now. Where can it happen? Only now. Only in this moment. It happens now. When I arrive here and I see this place, like, even wordlessly, my emotions inform me. Oh, what's it going to be like? Is everyone going to like me? What's going to happen to me? Who are these men? What's happening here? Like, all of this stuff starts happening. And then another part of me goes, you've got nothing to get. No one can give you anything. You're all right. You don't have to be afraid. All you're ever able to do is be of service to other people. And if you get distracted from that objective and start thinking that your life is about getting things, you know pain is coming, because I've experienced it many, many times. So I've had it, like, I've had, you know, I'm lucky because I was a crack and heroin addict. If you're a crack and heroin addict, the problem comes, hits you hard. Like, this is the material world. The material world's not going to work. Then when you get into things that are socially endorsed, like sex, no one cares if you have loads and loads of sex. As long as you're having sex with willing partners, everyone's like, wicked, crack on. You know, but eventually you end up in the same place, loneliness. Then the pursuit of fame, you end up in the same place, loneliness. Like, look, forget me. I've got a relatively ordinary experience in the world of celebrity, but I've met people a lot more famous and successful than me that you see that they're in pain. They're like, it's not working for them.
Why is that? Why is there so much pain in the celebrity industry? We talk about this a lot on the show. Why is it such a prevalent emotion in our space?
Because of the disjunct between the external reality and the internal reality. Everyone's telling you should be so happy, you're so successful. You stand in front of thousands of people and telling you you're fantastic. Then you go back to a room on your own and think, I'm still the person I was when I was a little kid. That little line, that line of awareness that reaches right back, your earliest experiences, some of which you've never taken the time to address, the moments of pain, the moments of shame, the moment you've done things that you regret. You've never used the system to examine what is it that I have done? Who is it that I am? And now suddenly you're living in a world that's telling you that everything is fantastic. Mm. That's why I think you get it, because of the external endorsement sort of overrides your internal experience. Oh, I should be happy. Why is this not working for me?
Mm. And I watched some of the 12-step program, and I'm like on 7 right now. And it just seems like people don't give them the time and the ability to just ask important questions of their past. I would 100% agree with that.
I agree, Andre. We ain't in a very reflective society. Look at, like, yous lot are very, very good at living like this sort of rampant Viking prankster thing on a mad crusade of skullduggery and pranking, like, you know, sort of. But there will be terrifying collisions and crashes. You know, when we had our chat before, Logan, you talked about some of those moments of, like, catastrophe or whatever. So look, to be honest, I'm still on the journey myself. I'm just older than you. Yeah. Is all, you know, but like for me, as long as you have some kind of understanding that the real solution will be an inner one and will lead to kindness and love of other people, then you'll more or less grope your way through it, probably bumping into tons Caleb of Bennett. Asses on the way.
Did Andre give you any down on my past at all? I have a pretty similar story from an addiction.
Tell me what's going on, mate.
Standpoint and my.
What seems to be the trouble, Mike? Let's see if
I spent about 10 years in the same kind of world that you lived in, active addiction, heroin, crack, all that stuff. So I was in that space in the, you know, darkest pits of hell. And I guess the quick question I wanted to ask you was your discovery, and by the way, there's a lot of people that watch the show that share that as well, or also mental health problems, and they're looking for a way out and a way to beat this struggle. Was your discovery of this... need to, like, was your discovery of your spirituality and your spiritual journey what drove you out of that pit, or was it something you discovered afterwards? Like, what was the straw that broke the camel's back in a positive way to get you out of that pit of despair?
First is the despair. The despair is your teacher, isn't it? The pain is your teacher. Things get so bad that you have to do something else.
Desperation.
Heroin and crack work for a while because it's so, like, disorienting, isn't it? Yes. Particularly if you're using them together, letting those two little guys argue in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because crack wants to go one way, the heroin wants to go the other way. They can work it out inside your consciousness. It's a dazzling little circus to introduce to your brain.
It's a boxing match.
It is.
Yeah.
Usually heroin will win, but crack can put up a good fight if you're willing to do the numbers.
Crack doesn't have the same stamina that heroin does.
Heroin will grind it out.
Forever.
Going down.
How many people...
Strong chin, heroin.
How many 10-year veteran crackheads do you know? Not many. It don't last long.
First the teeth, then the brain, then everything.
Gone.
All out. Wipe out. The greedy, greedy addiction claims you finger by finger, tooth by tooth, limb by limb. So when that place eventually takes you to, well, for me, in the end, it was like, oh no, this isn't working anymore. It's getting worse and worse. And like eventually thoughts of suicide, unable to see what the way out will be. You recognize that that is a kind of gift, as long as you are at that point able to have a spiritual experience. And a spiritual experience don't have to be some highfalutin mystical thing. It can just be a change of perspective. I used to look at the world this way. Now I look at the world this way. You need a spiritual experience, and then you need the support of a community. You need people that have been down the path before you, and you need people that are going to support you in your new endeavor. You can't be hanging around with the people that are still doing the brown and the white. You need to be with people like, no, we don't do that no more. Yep. We're going this way. So those are the two things that I was taught.
And how long have you been clean? Have you been clean?
17 years. Wow, no drink, no drugs, no stems, no seeds, no steel. Oh, wow, there's a lighting cue for that. I love that. My God.
That's incredible.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Cheers, mate.
Was it you that told me recently that you believe you're a combination of the five closest people around you?
I think that's a commonly held belief in most spaces, yeah, that you become what you surround yourself with. And there's a saying in the 12-step program, not Russell's 12-step program, but the original one,
which is
yep, in AA and NA, which is if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. Mm. Which is to say, if you spend time around the people, places, and things that have driven you to act negatively and to bring toxins into your life, you will continue to do those things. It's just the law of nature. And so we talked to people over the past couple of weeks that say if you spend your time with billionaires, guess what's probably going to happen to you? If you spend your time around spiritual leaders, guess what's probably going to happen to
you? If you spend your time around drop shippers, you're gonna start drop shipping. It's an inside joke. Eventually you'll probably catch on.
Or you'll just order a dog toy for $80 and then that's fine too.
Drop shipping. That's
the
what
future,
I'm
man.
That's the future. Drop shipping. Does the shift need to come from trauma or an extremely negative life threatening, altering experience.
I hope not. Not for everyone.
Is it possible not to?
I think so. Listen, I was recently thinking about, I once interviewed that fella, Andy Puddicombe. He run that app called Headspace. That's his app.
I know that app so very well.
That dude were a proper monk, you know, 10 years, shaved head, walking around in the snow.
Why was he a monk?
Well, I don't know, probably misery. But the thing he told me, Mike, that's important, the thing that he told me that I think is important, he must have met a 17-year-old like llama kid. Like, yep. And that, he said that even though this kid was just 17 years old, it just radiated pure light. So it doesn't need to be like you've had this experience, that experience. And a lot of people that come from cultures that don't emphasize consuming, that don't emphasize violence, that don't emphasize fear the way our news media emphasizes fear, have a different experience of life. Of course, all of us have got the same basic components when it comes to primal drives, appetites for sex, appetites for food, appetites for status. All these things are in us. But how do those things get directed by the culture we live in? Overstimulated around sex, overstimulated around food, overstimulated around power, you know, like, so I don't think it's necessary to go to hell in order to have an awakening. But, you know, I feel that for a lot of people in our type of cultures, you have to experience that, because otherwise you carry on trying to drop purchase or whatever the hell it is. Drop ship your way out of trouble.
Especially if you're stubborn. Like I will get advice sometimes, and I often just fall back on living my life and doing what I was doing before I got the advice. And occasionally and especially now after Tokyo, like I'm really starting to listen much more than I did before. But in general, I'm a stubborn person, and the fastest way and most effective way for me to learn is just experiencing in myself. So if I'm going down a hole of relative negativity, I'll tend to get to the bottom of the fucking hole. Like I'll hit the bottom of the well and then decide to make the change. So I guess just hope, like if I were to like make this practical advice for anyone listening, try and clock where you're at in your life and see which direction you're going, so you maybe don't have to reach rock bottom before you decide to make that potential spiritual shift in your life.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that. I wonder what our plan is. You know, sometimes we have a plan as individuals. This is what I'm going to do. Drop shipping. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock people out. You know, like we come up with little plans. Me, like I'm always coming up with a little vision of life. But what I have to do is just check in where that vision's coming from. Am I trying to compensate for something? What's my motivation?
Like I'm constantly trying to gauge my thoughts and my intentions. Like why I'm doing or thinking something a certain way. And if I sense that it's coming from a bad place, I try to rectify, but you know, I still have a lot of learning to do.
Yeah, well, I think we all do, mate, but I think we're doing fantastically well. I mean, the very fact that you can create that lighting cue at will is for me, a real sign of progress.
We got a great lighting.
No, that's the cue.
Tactician over there. Yeah. There you
go. If I was like living in a house that had that potential, I would sit my life away just under that light rig. In a solitary disco until mental illness really took over. Just yield to that. Amazing.
You just talked a little bit about something that we call finding your why. We've been talking about this a lot lately, especially we spent some time with some Navy SEALs last week in Virginia weeks ago. Shout out Combatics, Dom Rosso, Tim Clemente, all these guys. You're going to see a vlog from that soon.
What'd you do? Train?
We trained with them. We learned on some pretty heavy hardware and some combat training, some hand-to-hand combat with people that have been through and have actually had to do the stuff that we don't want to do to protect this country, right? And everything they taught us and everything they do is rooted in a strong sense of why they do what they do. Spending time around them and spending around other people who are strongly rooted in their purpose, like Simon Sinek's famous TED talk about why being the leader of all important things in this life. I have realized how much of a struggle I'm having with that. What is your true why? What is your purpose? Why are you here? And would you say that everything that you do in this life is strongly rooted in that purpose?
Yeah, it is now, mate. Now that the purpose is now communicate spiritual message in way that people can understand. Help people to understand that material solutions won't work for them. Help men awaken from the idea that you have to only pursue the individualistic competitive path. Help us to find ways where we can incorporate, include, and respect people of all different forms of identity without being judgmental. And that includes people that previously have been themselves judgmental about, like, you know, we talked about like that conservative commentator. They need love. There's got to have love coming from every single direction, though. Awakening is the purpose. Mm-hmm. Awakening wherever possible, however we can, recognizing as well that I'm just a fuck up also. You know, that it's like, I know some spiritual teachers that are on the other side of it, you know, like people that are like radiating pure consciousness, Andre, for one. And like, but like, to recognize that, like, collectively, we can probably all help each other. Like, if we had to hang out for a week and survive Navy SEAL style, there'll be moments of despair, desperation, where each of us would be in tears that needed love and support. And I reckon the camaraderie that them people have Massive. Is probably part of the thing that's really attractive about them.
Yeah, one thing you do too is, I think, and Logan told me this after meeting with you, is you make the stuff applicable. There's a lot of gurus in this space and a lot of people that do the mindfulness stuff that it is just a burning ball of spiritual gas. And I look at it and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit, dude? They're like, if you delve into the alpha meta dimension, you will find your spiritual liaison and it will lead you to... And I'm just like, yo, dog, what the fuck are you saying to me right now? I just did heroin for 10 fucking years. I'm trying to survive here. Give me something I can fucking work with.
Yeah.
I feel like you do that. I feel like you are taking your best opportunity to provide actionable next steps.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is exactly it. But that's how I was taught it because of a 12-step program. First, admit there's a problem. Like, you know, and most Number people, one. If you're going around and you're happy, then there's no problem. Crack on, carry on. But if there's a problem, like, okay, there's a problem. The second thing, believe it's possible to change. You might be able to believe it's possible to change by acquiring a mentor or belonging to groups of other people that have changed in the way that you want to change. Three, recognize that your thinking ain't going to get you out of it. You're not your own mentor. You're not your own God. If it's like, I've got this problem and I'm going to solve it by doing this, you're probably going to fuck up, because that's the same person that came up with the ideas that led you into the fucking situation. Step four, make an inventory. You have to write down all the things you've ever done that you regretted, all the things that have happened to you that are bad, and there's a way of cataloging these, and that's what my program, my interpretation of the 12 steps, is about, following that method. Then when you do that, you share it with another person who understands, not some lunatic. Then you recognize there's always been certain patterns. My God, the way I got thrown out of that school was the way I lost that job. The way I got fucked up that relationship was the same way I fucked up that relationship. You start to recognize that you are contributing to your own problems. You start to lose that victim mentality. Oh, life's just happening to me. Not that bad things don't happen. You know, people get abused as kids. People are victims of crime. Those things happen. But what you learn is, it's bad that those things happen to you. It's even worse if you continue to be defined by them, particularly when there's a way out of it.
Massive.
Once you've completed that inventory process, you'll recognize that you've hurt a whole bunch of people over the course of your life. And one by one, you have to make amends to those people if it's appropriate, because a lot of people, they don't want to see your ass again. So like, if it's appropriate, you go and make amends. Then the final three steps, stay awake. Watch yourself. Watch what you are feeling. Watch if there's a moment where you feel like you're going to be violent. Watch if there's a moment where you feel like you're insecure and weak or sad. You have to observe it. The next step, step 11, conscious contact with a higher power. This can be achieved through prayer and meditation. Meditation's so vital. You've got to learn meditation. Andre, you meditate, surely. Look at you. Look like you're doing it now.
Yes.
I feel it radiating out of you. You know, like Andre's girlfriend, Blue, anointed me in a restaurant once.
Yeah, amazing. You told me that. That's so ironic. Mm-hmm. What, you rubbed gold on his face?
Yeah, I was in a restaurant. Gold right across the head, right down the old third eye, on the forehead. Just to clarify. So step 11, prayer and meditation increase conscious contact. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening. Once you are awakened, you recognize that your life is going to become about service. Now, I bounce up and down that 12 steps continually. There's loads of time in my life where all I care about is what I want, where I'm, you know, where I lose my temper in traffic, where I lose my temper, minor altercations, meaningless things, ego stuff. Oh, I'm not successful as that person. I should have that. I'd be okay if I had X, Y, Z. But now I know, because of step 10, staying aware, because I've looked at my past and I've looked at my patterns, in those situations, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I'm doing that thing. And if I stay in those states of dissatisfaction for too long, sooner or later, I'm going to drink, take drugs, want to have sex in an absent-minded way. You know, like, so once you've completed that process, and I think you can do it if you're a heroin addict or if you're just not happy with your work or your relationships or your life, it creates a sort of awakening. And once you've got the awakening, then maintain it by being part of a community and finally find that purpose, your unique purpose. We know, don't we, that each of us has individual fingerprints through which we can be identified. So it's like we are unique. We are unique expressions of some whole thing. We know that a tree will grow to its full fruition unless impeded by circumstance. If it's given the correct nutrition, the tree will reach fruition. But for a human being, we have so many negative influences on us, people telling you you're not good enough. I'm like, I know anyone, like, immediately you tell me heroin crack problem, I know you went through hard shit when you were a kid. It's like, that doesn't, you don't Absolutely. Get into that situation unless that's happened to you.
Sure.
So at some point that has to be addressed. Otherwise, in the end, we return to those solutions. In the end, the pain gets too much and you're like, I've got to check out. I can't be in the pain no more. So I recognize this, that all of us have an intended purpose, that there is an awakening possible. And I was taught that the word recovery means recover the person you're intended to be, that there is a version of yourself trying to realize itself, but you've got to overcome those primal drives for low frequency things. You've got to understand, you've got to overcome those cultural influences that are trying to turn you into a consumer and a worker, prevent you realizing who you are. And the only way you will do that is if you have a map, coordinates, a vision, a purpose that can take you there. And this 12 step system is simple enough to achieve that. If that's the Dalai Lama, tell him I'm fucking busy.
So what you just recited right there was basically Bill Wilson's 12 steps, which is the most, you know, famous 12 step program for getting out of addiction, recovery, and despair. It's saved millions and millions and millions of people's lives. And you touched on one step, which in my book that I'm writing right now, it's going to come out in the next couple months. It's one that I personally notated as probably the most important part of the journey for me, which was taking responsibility for your actions. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people that fall into this habit of, you know, I was abused as a child, or I was abused recently, or, you know, I hate to say it, but people in that have socioeconomic or up against racial issues in this country, at some point you need to take full responsibility for every single thing that's happening in your fucking life.
But importantly, Mike, this is a program for us as individuals. It ain't a pro like any religion. I feel like this is a program for me as an individual. It ain't for me to tell anyone else. If we do it, people will be attracted to us. People will be attracted to the method if we pursue it correctly.
Absolutely. It's not
that
I'm not
forcing it. We can't use it to turn it onto, because, you know, that becomes a populist right-wing diatribe to prevent people that have genuinely suffered conditions that are hard for me to identify with. I don't know what the experience is like as a woman in America, or to be differently abled in China, or whatever. Sure. But I do believe that this system will work for anyone in achieving a state of awakening and enlightenment. Mm-hmm. But I feel that there are supplementary things that different people will need. And I think that when the more of us achieve a kind of a state of awakening, the more we'll be willing to review the kind of systems of judgment and control that have been put in place that prejudice the way that we see one another. Are you abstinent now, mate?
Right now, yeah.
What about actually, what? Don't smoke nothing?
He means alcohol and drugs.
I mean everything. Yeah.
Right.
He's fucking.
Right, well, that's okay. You're allowed 10 years of that.
In a way, it's okay. When it gets out of control, I'm safe.
And as long as you're not hurting anybody else.
No, absolutely not. I'm under control. But as of we started another 2020. Sober 2020 about 3 weeks ago. I've been clean for just about 9.5 years now.
Well done,
mate. Of all drugs.
That's incredible.
But I have, in a way...
So happy when that happens.
We could just turn the lights on and
just sit in silence and drool. Yeah, go on. So you got nearly 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years clean. But then, you know, I've been back and forth, socially drinking, and I've in a way created my own plan, which, as we know, doesn't fucking work. And so I over the past, call it 6 to 8 months, I've had these 3 months on, 3 months off situations, and I realized that leading into 2020 that for me, very much right now, it's not about controlling and preventing the downfalls. It's about unleashing my true best self. And so when I wake up hungover even one day a week, I never have an urge to use drugs. I never have an urge to hurt myself. Like, none of those things exist. I've been here in this space for 10 years, socially having a couple drinks here and there, but I still wake up feeling like shit, and I'm not able to work out, and I'm not able to create the best content, and I'm not able to do the best possible work that I can.
What about crisis? Are you getting into like crisis situations? Are things like you're not getting arrested, you're not getting hospitalized, you're not getting in fights, you're not creating controversy, chaos in your own life, and you're not difficult to be around or live with, you're not creating problems for the people that love you.
I'm addicted to work.
Well, it's okay then. Although some people are going, no,
don't joke around, he's loud sometimes. I'm loud. He came in my room with a lawnmower this morning. In my indoor room with a lawnmower.
I'm also loud. Like, I'll acknowledge. Shifting just a little bit. I love this version of Russell.
I love
this.
You're Russell. Generous.
It's the only Russell that I've known. But like, I've always obviously been a fan, and I've always liked you. Actually, not true. Full transparency. When you were married to Katy Perry, I hated you.
Because of that?
I was 13 and she was my crush. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
You weren't ready to be married at 13.
I wasn't,
Logan.
But
a lot of commitment.
It was right when she...
Even just the mortgages and stuff.
No, I know. I was, yeah. It was Cats need to be fed. She came out with California Girls, and she was spraying like whipped cream out of her boobs. I was like, I love this woman. Who is this woman?
That's the sweet spot for a 13-year-old, I suppose.
I know, trust me.
Boobs
yeah,
and whipped,
me,
whipped cream simultaneously.
Yeah. But
potential whippets as well.
Yo, kids are doing whippets now.
Whippets are
I had to be educated on whippets. They are huge here. It's all the new TikTokers. They're all whippeting.
No whippeting on TikTok. How many more times? I don't know how many times I've had to say no whippeting on TikTok. I think that's about the 50th time I've said that
they're
today.
They're all doing it.
Whippets and mushrooms have both made a massive comeback. Well, I'm not okay when done properly, maybe. By the way, maybe. I'm being careful here. But also, like, people are taking them at the nightclub. And they're taking too much, and they're getting drunk as well at the same time. Like, they're not being taken to explore fucking your boundaries.
I had a thought. I had a question.
A thought?
I'm halfway through it. How does this Russell that's sitting across from me interact with the fickle, superficial world that is both technology and social media?
I'm careful around it. How do you mean? Like, what you do for a living is sort of dependent on really understanding it and continually creating content. I'm sort of mindful of the way what happens when I go into them spaces. I'm not operating. No one is at the level that you are. But me personally, I can't deal with, like, I don't want to hear people being negative. I don't want to deal with that stuff. Also, similarly, even when people are positive about me. So, way I regard the social media.
You just don't want to hear shit, basically.
Nothing. I want that light on. I want some whippets and some mushrooms and TikTok. Zone out until I become a single cellular organism. Just
an amoeba.
Make me an amoeba. Do what it takes. Put enough gas into my cerebellum to make me a single cellular organism. Like, what I feel is. Like, you got to watch that space because, like, it's intoxicating. It's, again, it's like we're not meant to experience that level of interaction. I'd like to, you would probably like that book Tribe. You'll probably like Yuval Noah Harari's stuff to recognize that we would, like, we're basically monkeys designed to live in communities of 100 to 150 people. Since the advent of agriculture, we've been able to live in different sorts of systems. Yuval Noah Harari talks about because we can have narratives, because we can create concepts like countries and corporations, which are just faith-based systems that same as a religion. Just to believe that there's an England or an America, it's only a concept, it's only an idea, a massive land, a flag and a bunch of ideas and some taxes, you know, like, you know, that we can opt out of those things if we choose to, if we want to. Like, so I feel like it's important for us to remember what are the conditions that human beings would evolved to live in. Hunting, gathering, copulating. But, like, we're awakening apes. We're awakening. And there's nothing wrong with technology. It's beautiful and magnificent. Nothing wrong with medicine. Beautiful. But these are often used as fake markers of progress. Because we've progressed so incredibly in technology and medicine, people say, oh, well, human beings, we're far, far beyond where we used to be. But in some areas, we're just the same. We're little monkey people with our little monkey minds and our little monkey requirements. So I feel like we have to create systems, societies, cultures that are reflective of our nature, while respecting the individual cultural differences of the many, many people of this planet. If you delve into that world of social media, you're hit with so many ideas, so many different expressions of what it is to be a human, what it is to believe or be alive. It's too much for people to hold. It's not natural to deal with that totality and that much fragmentation. So I'm cautious.
Hey, listen, what you just saw right there, rare. Rare. Dude, you have to work with this kid. This is 24/7.
Was giving you everything, right? Like your manager.
This is also a major source of my power,
absolutely.
And it always has.
Yeah.
And I've always and I use it for that. I never had Instagram or social media at all, other than anything to produce content and make a business out of it.
What about how to steal chips without being caught? 87-year-old grandmother names Pokemon characters, and what was the third one?
Ripped a yellow book in half.
How to rip a phone book in half without, like. What do you think about that type of content?
Stop. Talk me through.
Here's what he's talking about. I have.
So I do want to know how to get chips without being caught.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd like to scare a grandmother.
Thank you.
They're very cocky, aren't they?
They always are.
I've made you some muffins. Fuck you.
I have this thing. My friends call it where I'll just watch.
Shit content.
They've coined shit content, and truthfully, man, I'll be stuck on a a love sack for 30 minutes just watching just absolute rubbish, just shit. Mm. And he caught me one time watching, what was it? 97-year-old grandmother names Pokemon, how to steal chips without getting caught.
His biggest thing, quickly, is the, do you know the Ruth
Goldberg machine?
Goldberg machines. It's basically a marble, you know this, a marble drops down a straw hits a domino. Domino's knocking it. Of course you do.
Everyone loves that.
Of course. How much Ruth Goldberg machines have you consumed in the past year?
None.
Well, hold on. Let me justify. I do this because I'm a student. I'm a student of the game.
Please, no.
I'm a student of the game. I swear to God. Everything that I do, whether consciously or subconsciously, everything that I consume inspires me. Example, based on what he just said, the grandmother naming Pokemon. We posted a TikTok the other day.
And it went great. People
of you naming Pokemon.
Yeah, that's great.
Guess where I got the idea from? The grandmother naming. Like, I never know when anything I see or hear is going to infiltrate its way into my content. And so, yeah, I'm constantly on my phone. And also, I grew up with it. Like, I grew up in a different... It's all I know. And I can put it down. No problem. You just saw me do it. I can check it out.
Here's a question. I'd want Russell's feedback on this, but what if the content that he consumes, if from a different spectrum, still has as much of an effect from an inspiration standpoint, but it inspires him in a different way?
That's a really brilliant point.
Okay,
Mike.
So as opposed to him consuming content that makes him produce another spin-off of 87-year-old grandmother names Pokemon characters.
With you as the grandmother.
With me as the grandmother, which, by the way, I'm pretty close. He consumes content about what's hot in culture and clothing right now, and it drives higher business sales on the Maverick side, or who's doing the best drop shipping, and he becomes the best drop shipper he could be. Like,
Before you answer this,
root it in why, I guess is what I'm saying.
Super ideal. That'd be awesome. But also unrealistic. When you want to shut off and think about nothing, and what your version of the Rube Goldberg machine, the marbles rolling down, and you just want to turn your brain off at whatever time it is. Maybe you don't turn. Maybe you're like a Kevin Hart, Dwayne Johnson, and you're always on. But maybe you're not. Do you have something that you do that you can just shut down? Is it meditation?
Yes, it is meditation, because otherwise I'll do things like you do. You know, I'll look at, like, I'll play like an English football management game and just lose myself in fake transfers hour after hour. I love doing that kind of numbing stuff.
That's
I'm a
Evan.
Smackhead. Like, it's nice to numb. But like Mike was saying there about that if you, like, and you said yourself that you, everything you consume influences your creativity. Now, you must think of that as a kind of power. And as Mike said, wherever you put your intention and attention, that's going to be expressed in your work. So the same as you were saying, mate, that, you know, when you wake up with a hangover, that's a day where you're not improving and making yourself better. I suppose it's not that you need to be so kind of assiduous and diligent that you never get a moment's peace to yourself, but when you're looking at that stuff, you'll think, why am I looking at this? What is this? What am I really going to get from this? Because you are in because of your own endeavor and, you know, some good fortune, because all of us get good fortune along the way, the time we've been born, the place we've been born, the things that we were given naturally, our work ethic. You didn't give yourself this ability, you didn't give yourself that face, that voice, this language. So, like, you know, there's a lot of things there that you can use to create so much beauty, so much inspiration, so much comfort. And I feel that that's the direction you're naturally going in. I mean, like, Jesus, we've got to be kind to ourselves. Nothing wrong with watching a marble and a straw create some sort of, what are they called again? Dorothy Porridge's sex machine.
Dorothy Porridge's
sex machine. Nothing wrong with that.
Do you...
those exist too, by the way. Have you ever seen those automated sex machines that just kind of go like this? Yeah. And me neither. I've never seen that. I don't know.
That's revolting. And also, that would be an unsatisfying movement for everyone involved, I think.
That's a fact.
Where's the sway?
No, that's the end goal of it. It's a machine. The machine turns on a wheel, and in the end, it drives
even that,
it.
That's too...
Hey, you said we're all just little monkeys.
I think, I'd like a machine that the result is...
Here's the thing. He can build that for you. He's got expertise in that department.
Engineer dog.
He would have been an engineer dog.
I think there's so much power. I think there's so much power in what you said, though, just because, like, from a standpoint of where people find their sense of self, a lot of it is in doing, I find. And like, especially like the hustle mentality and like always trying to like go out and do things to like find a sense of, okay, I'm somebody. Mm. And I think we're called human beings for a reason, you know, because you don't call a tiger being a dolphin being, they're animals, and we've been given the title of human being. And I feel like that if we can find that sense of happiness and self and peace just by being. And so many of man's problems and suffering comes from not being able to be in a room alone, quietly.
Yeah, we all need to get, you're right. We need to be able to get into flow states without needing Dorothy Porridge's sex machine to numb our asses out or whippets or whatnot.
Do you blame potentially any kind of slow and technological improvement that we may be experiencing, or any, you know, you talked about these monkey communities and we really haven't gotten far from there. I've seen stories about the death of boredom being a massive contributor to the lack of advancement in society and content in whatever case, because people that thought of great ideas thought of those great ideas because they had nothing else to do. They were sitting there with themselves, thinking, breathing, being, as opposed to Dorothy Porridge sex machine, grandma names Pokemon. Like, we are surrounded and inundated by a pile of flaming dog shit right now. Like, let's be honest, the internet is a shithole. It is a disaster of bullshit. And unless you are a skilled navigator, which maybe you are, or the Spencer Vibes who follows zero people on Instagram because it's not hard to see something you don't want to see when you follow no one. Huh. Unless you're a skilled navigator of that shit pile, you're going to be inundated by shit, and you're going to be inspired by shit.
Why don't we apply, Mike, the system that we already discussed, that you and I have successfully deployed around our addiction to chemicals, to this phone use? Now, how that would work is you would obviously set yourself some targets. You'd say that, all right, when I get up, I do whatever it is I do. I don't just delve straight into the phone, and then I'm not allowed to numb out. I'm allowed to look at that screen for 1 hour or 2 hours a day when it's related to work. You know, like, that's the equivalent. Having a program, having a plan that was suggested to you by someone else is the way of changing that behavior. Rather, at the moment, we've just got our own plan. I'll look at it when I feel like it. I'll do what I want to do. Obviously, in your line of work, in your world, in your generation, it's going to be something that you interact with, but it's unconsciously interacting with it. It's problematic. You don't need me to tell you that the people that invented that shit don't let their kids look at it, that they themselves have all sorts of restriction around it because they used it, knowing what they know about addiction, knowing what they know about people like us that just can't stop once we start. And all of us have these inbuilt tendencies to one degree or another. So we have to make a conscious decision to say, right, I'm only going to do this for this amount of time. And then if you don't do that, it's not like you have to go and shoot yourself in the garage, but you sort of have to go, oh wow, I wasn't capable of doing that. That's interesting. That's addiction.
You're skipping a step though.
Go on.
Where that statement works on me, and by the way, I know exactly what you're talking about with these people who built Facebook, built YouTube. They built it with this endless scroll that's just going to keep scrolling. The videos on YouTube autoplay, so your videos never stop. You don't even have to scroll anymore. They'll do it for you. Mm. It was built like that. The step we're skipping with Logan is, unlike me, I don't think he's at step one. He's not, he has no problem with it. Yeah. And so, like, until he says, okay, like, and by the way, I've admitted it, but I'm even worse. In a lot of ways, I'm worse than him. I think my screen time might even be higher than his. Mm-hmm. So I am, at the end of the day, I'm, you know, preaching in the choir, but, like, you know, it's a good point. All the people that built these applications have their kids off of them. They're not on them.
To our earlier point, unless there's a problem, there's not a problem. You're a young man, you're successful. Like, you know, be guided by whatever it is in you that's taken you this far. Trust it to a degree. You don't need to put yourself in some self-imposed penury. You're doing well. But if ever you find yourself reflecting, I want to change, I want to do things differently, then start to look at this method, this system, recall this conversation, reach out, you know. But like, like Mike's saying, if there ain't a problem, no problem. Mm-hmm. Don't need to, you know, we don't all need to sort of get Jesus Christ up to the max, do we? Start wandering the earth in robes, preaching, or should we try that? Like your man Spencer, no shoes or socks on, in a country that's got a lot of pineapples and a lot of spiders. Risky.
The fact that technology has advanced the way it has, and how prominent specifically phones are in our lives, and again, I'm going to go back to social media because it's my birthplace. Are you aware that there's a statistic out that like 70% of kids want to be YouTubers when they grow up. That's the occupation that they want to become. They want to be famous. They see the life that YouTubers have created, celebrities in general. Do you think it's unhealthy to chase fame in that way, to want to be famous?
Yes.
I do. But like, you know, but I think people have always wanted to be something. Probably in ancient tribal societies, people wanted to be warriors or hunters or whatever it was, you know, like, but what I feel is that fame, when you're like speaking to someone who wanted to be famous when I was a kid, even though I recognize the language around it and the types of fame that are possible now are different and varied, I still think there are certain archetypes. There are certain type of people that become famous. You're a recognizable archetype. There's lots of things about you that would, like, you probably would have been famous in the 50s. You probably would have been famous in the 80s. You would have just been through a different journey. It's just the technology existed now for this particular type of fame. Mm-hmm. But like, I suppose the problem with fame is it presents you an external image and then tells you that if you achieve that external image, you're going to be happy. And also in so doing, it imposes and enforces certain cultural ideas that are not necessarily beneficial to us. I heard once, culture is not your friend. We think of culture as our friend, but social media, you know why exists, is ultimately making money for people. It's making profit for, you know, sort of whatever organizations.
Dropshippers, that kind of stuff.
Dropshippers are the key issue here today, Mike. And if we can just stop one person dropshipping, I'll consider it a worthwhile visit to a very fancy garage. But like, I like recognize that what is the like the social media space, like all spaces, everything is domed by the invisible ideology of capitalism, which is about profit, which is about limitless growth, continual growth. That you can't have continual growth on a limited space. This is a limited, like, we're on a sort of a rock in limitless space. As far as I can understand, it seems limitless, but the resources on it are limited. So you can't have limitless growth.
A spherical rock, by the way, yes.
It's spherical.
Okay.
I would say
just fucking making sure here.
Yeah, I don't think it's cubic rock. I'm not saying it's flat. Okay. I'm certainly not contesting that.
I'm throwing out little feelers here just to make sure we're on the
Yeah, I've seen some images. I mean, like, I spoke to that Neil deGrasse Tyson about that, and he said, well, like, if the moon landing, say, were faked, he goes, if you can go to Cape Canaveral, and there's a lot of admin, there's a lot of paperwork, like, they did a lot of maths. I mean, they've really gone deep if it is fake. Yeah, not that I don't believe in some conspiracies.
Any namely conspiracies?
Mostly like the murder of high-profile people in significant JFK. Positions, those kind of things. Mm. Yeah, things like that. I mean, if you can make rational sense of the intention behind it, if you then, you know.
Look, we just got caught in that JFK hole the other day.
Yeah, we talked about
how Lee Harvey Oswald got shot by
Jack Ruby. Go on, what did you do? Did you watch the Oliver Stone's film? Yeah,
I've seen it a million times. But we were just watching. Like,
it's not as good as a marble videos. Rolling down like a knocking over a domino. But I mean, Oliver Stone did work very hard.
You gotta understand,
he tried his best. Just as easy as, you know, we can get caught watching marbles hit toasters, pop up a toast, and light a match and pop
no,
a balloon.
No, I'm interested. Like. Don't, because then I'll be watching it in the car on the way home.
No, trust. There's some really good ones out there. Oh, I gotta my say, God, we're going down
course.
The hole. There's a channel. There's a whole
back
channel
to the
full
future,
of great
the beginning when the dog food comes out. That's basically
yes,
that concept.
Exactly,
we love
exactly.
it. Wallace and Gromit is just those machines, like pulling them trousers up that poor guy when he comes out of bed and all that cheese he likes to eat. Look, the machines are attractive. No one's attacking your machines. I'm just saying, watch JFK. Oliver Stone worked hard.
Domino Rally wasn't one of the most popular games of the 1990s for no reason.
Oh,
I mean, it was a beautiful game.
Why
you set
it
up,
so
the dominoes fall, and at the end, a little rocket ship blasts off. It's got water inside. It's great. Oh. Those are great.
It's got an ejaculatory sort of metaphorical resonance.
Oh, woo.
Who doesn't enjoy that?
You have hobbies?
No, yeah, BJJ. BJJ,
right. Yeah.
Meditation. That's it, I think.
Really?
I got two kids, mate. There ain't no time for hobbies. Like, if you look at me closely, I'm covered in vomit, hardly any of which is my own. Like, sort of, like, you know, like, whenever I leave the house, there's a little person that's like crying and that, or that is really, it's mental.
Hearing you talk about your kids is hilarious.
Oh, really?
On your podcast, you describe your daughter as she thinks that you're her servant.
Yeah,
put on this earth to give her everything she needs, which in many ways is.
Yeah, she's right.
Is that fatherhood?
If it's true that women's archetypal vision of men is formed from the relationship with their father, then my oldest daughter, at very least, is just going to regard people as kind of indentured servants. The other day, she said to me, "Fuck off!" So aggressively, it's brilliant. "Fuck off!" with a head movement.
How old is she?
Three.
With the head movement. She pressed you like that.
Yeah, she did that. "Fuck off!" like that.
Where would she learn something like that?
I don't know where she's picking this stuff up. I would say there are somehow. Is it the government, the CIA, are putting bad parents into
Jack
the house?
Ruby.
Drones. Jack Ruby came in because he was ill already. So he thought, well, I've got cancer. Maybe I'll just teach this kid some swear words on the way out. And then bam, he's popped off. Was it the Cubans? Who's involved in this? It goes deep, baby. Someone's making my kids say fuck off. What about Building 11? Who bought down Building 11?
Oh my God.
Do
dude.
You Do you intentionally keep your, or you talk about your life, your family life? Do you intentionally keep it off social media?
Yeah,
because I feel like watching you interact with your kids and your family,
it would be good content.
Incredible.
And you're the master of that.
Well, because like I'm
get
already
me those fucking kids. Yeah, like you're right. Like, what are you going to say? They should be doing drop shipping.
I think drop shipping's a good start. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you put a YouTube channel up, it would crush, dude.
When I have kids and a wife, I would assume, given the thing that I've done my whole life, I would probably just continue to exploit my life. You don't have to do that.
No,
I don't think
I can, mate. Because I've been famous for a long time prior to having a family, I have been fully baptized in how dark that stuff is, and like there's some things are sort of sacred and beautiful. Not that I'm judging other people that do put their kids on that, but you know, I know a lot of people in the public eye do, and I've got no opinion on that. I'm just saying, for me, like, I gave away a lot of myself, and like it's too beautiful. Plus they're not old enough to fucking decide. They might go older than me. What's this bullshit?
She might tell you to fuck off.
I mean, that's
bring the camera
seems
out.
Inevitable.
You saw the royal family's recent decision to back out of the royal duties and in an effort to escape the limelight. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's fascinating. I mean, in a sense, what is a monarchy really other than a symbol of ongoing sort of hegemony, hierarchies, aristocracy, the right of certain people to dominate? The whole thing's an absolute facade, isn't it, really? Yeah. Having said that, when I'm in America, if anything happens with them royals, I'm like a royal wedding. I'm like, oh my God. When I heard like Meghan and Harry, I was like, well, I don't know, stepping out of the limelight, I had a view on it. I mean, they stitch that shit deep in your DNA in England,
of course.
They make you care about that kind of thing. But really, a royal family is a mad concept. I mean, they have to have all that pageantry. They have to have all those symbols so that you don't go, aren't these just some normal people that we're giving a load of money to for no reason?
Why are they living in that castle?
Why are we giving them castles? But it's the same with all powerful people. Why is it that a huge number of people cannot control a small elite? Because we're continually divided. We're continually operating on low frequencies of fear and desire. The news media scaring us. The marketing industry telling us that we need to purchase more. So we can't step back and realize that freedom is all around us. That utopia is adjacent to where we are right now. We can step out of the illusion whenever we need to.
How far off is it? We've had the spiritual liaisons before. We've had many of them on the show, and I always ask the same question. Are we fucked?
I don't think we're fucked, but I think being fucked might be part of our transition. You know, like we were talking about with individuals, there normally has to be a sort of a moment of desperation. I don't know. I don't believe in any particular... I'm not allied to any particular narrative around the apocalypse or whether the Australia fires or whatever else is leading to that. You know, but what my feeling is that we will begin to experience, as the economic, capitalist, commercial ideas begin to fail, huge people turning away. You see, even your own entrepreneurial energy, your collective ingenuity is all being challenged into an existing system, isn't it? It's all being literally, it's enshrined within YouTube, Google, whatever it is, Alphabet, whoever owns that. You know, I think that people like you are going to have a huge, huge influence, can start communicating very different messages. As long as you don't spend all your time watching Domino's and Dorothy Porridge, start watching utopian meditative videos. You can get people trancing out en masse. Global revolution could be a second away.
That's what Andre wants.
I will. Trust me, I will. But like also, like fuck, dude.
No rush.
I'm 20 fucking four, like a fuck.
Enjoy yourself.
My friends yelled at me this morning for wanting to turn a lawnmower upside down and drop Cheerios in it.
Idiots. Why don't they let you? No, be you.
I get it.
I'm trying to drop Cheerios in an upturned lawnmower and people stand in your way. They're standing in the way of science.
That's what I said.
You're right. I'm on your side.
No, like, you know, Mike's like, yo, we're aging up the continent. Like, isn't this taking a step back? And I just want to make it like very clear. Like, that's I'm still a fucking child. I still want to fuck shit up.
That's one of my things with him. I oftentimes have to remind myself to, you know, as a decision maker or someone who influences the content, to back away with that when I find a passion point of his. Mm. It's something he really wants to do. He wants to drive. It's like a child. The little kid wants to shake the fucking
I've
rattle.
Had this vision
Let
for
him
years.
Shake the fucking rattle.
For
he
years.
Wants to drop Cheerios
for
in a
years,
lawnmower.
When I was in high school, I was like, I wonder what would happen if this was upside down and we put something in it.
Yeah, what was it like?
It was disappointing because I couldn't do it because my parents were yelling at me. But
no.
But what is it like? What was the result? Was it good? Did the Cheerios really spray around a lot?
They're actually Crunch Berries All Berries, Captain Crunch Crunch Berries All Berries, because the color we thought would look good. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was. I can see that decision.
It was good. It's going to be a very good opening.
Yeah, the desired effect.
It sprays very beautifully like a Hadron Collider. We experience the chaos at the center of the universe. That maybe if there is a vacuum of energy, like a rotating blade, that you can create new chaos, like the spilled spectrum that adorns this desk. Behind the darkness, there are limitless rays. Just beyond the reach of the limited human sensory instruments, there is glory unseen, but we can access it within, and we can access it by tipping Captain Crunch onto a lawnmower. Do not deny your joy. Glory unto him. Yeah. Glory unto them.
So he did that a couple times when I was on his podcast.
He fucking better. Yeah. If you have the ability to do that, you better fucking do it. You should be a pastor.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Why? You mean O-R, not A. Like a preacher.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think you should be a pastor. I don't want a pastor. Oh, sorry. That might have been my New York twang.
You should be any of those things.
Not a pastor. Well, I don't want goats eating your grass. But
no,
like,
although,
you ever consider becoming a pastor?
Okay. I'll consider it. I've had, like, I mean, listen.
There's content about that on the internet. You can find it, trust me.
What? Becoming a ghost?
I don't fucking know. I'm sure
nibbling
Logan's
your
got,
lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get
do
it.
We,
I
do,
get
we,
it.
Do we have a heart? Do we have an out?
What time is it?
Really? Is this real?
How long have we been on?
20 minutes?
1 hour and 10 minutes. Oh, we're okay. For a sec.
Okay. Also, what's that truck?
Yeah, why is there a removal van taking all of your belongings?
It's a fish tank. Turtle tank's coming today. We have a lot of animals here.
I see an albino turtle when I was wandering around your drum. Amazing.
Amazing, right? Soft-shell Chinese turtle rescued from JFK. He was going to get eaten.
Sorry, what's that now?
He was being smuggled through JFK, and they got him, and now we have
him. Wrong JFK. I am so sorry. I started thinking of the dead president.
Right,
because
we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Seems simple mistake.
It's two pigs in the back.
Amazing.
You have any pets?
In England, I got a German Shepherd, a Golden Retriever, a Bengal cat, a cat that I've had when I first got clean. I got a couple of chickens because I live in the countryside in England. So yeah, it's a right little barn.
Well, how do you work when you're out there? Just podcast stuff remotely from home?
Yeah, you don't like, because the work has become sort of generally secondary because the children and wife are very, very like absorbing and captivating. Like it don't really, you know, I just dart off and do work, maybe go and do a film or do something for a little while.
Are you going to go back to Hollywood?
I've done a film recently. I just finished being in a film, but you know, it may be a little bit, but I don't know. It's strange when you do it. It's one of those things where you think it will be amazing, and then when you're doing it, it's like, oh, this isn't what I imagined.
It's not forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That was a good film.
I love that film. It is an underrated film. That is an incredible motion picture. If you've not seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, you should go watch that.
Yeah, watch that. I think that's 10 years ago.
That's the best type of acting to do.
You don't want to dress up or grow a moustache or even really wear a hat. Just be yourself while someone films you. Accept the money and go home quietly.
That's amazing. I love that. And that's what I prescribe to. I don't have to act for ever. I never act. I just turn it on. Do you still remember the line I talked about earlier in the... Before we came on?
Yeah, I do. What did you say?
If I have just one glass of wine, is it a glass of wine or a sip
Maybe
of
it's
alcohol?
A sip, and I think this is from Getting to the Greek, isn't it?
No. It's from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You're at the dinner table and someone offers you a drink. You say, if I have just one sip of alcohol, within a matter of hours, you find me in the back rimming the waiter just to get me hands on a rock. One of my favorite lines in movie history, dude.
It's up there, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Look, I found this to be an encouraging, beautiful experience with some innovative young people. I support you. I adore you. I'm in your corner if you need me, like I told you last time, holding that bucket waiting for you to spit blood or whatever the hell it is in your mouth at that particular time. Let me know if you need help with anything.
Awesome.
And if I can help you with it, I'll try to.
Awesome. Awesome. I definitely will, man. It'd be cool to actually get you to come out to a fight. I was just thinking about it.
You got boxing ring in your garden. Yep. I mean, I'm impressed. I feel like I met a man who seemed to me like he had the energy of a coach.
Milton, he was.
He is the coach. Yeah. He's the coach.
They squared up. Milton Russ squared up.
Nice. After I just met him and I wanted to tell him that I had good reach. That's the first thing I thought of telling him. And like, because I thought this man is a coach of some description.
Yep, that's it.
Would you ever get in the ring?
Oh man, I'd be so scared. Although when I was it, I used to, right, check this, because like after I did loads of promo for Jackass when it came out, when yep. it came to the UK, they got me doing MTV, who I worked for then, got me doing a load of promo. I made this series called like Psychological Jackass. It wasn't called that, it was called Rebrand, but I called it, it was like a Psychological Jackass, where I did things like I had a fight with my dad, a boxing match with my dad. I had a bath with a homeless guy. I manually masturbated off another man. I'm heterosexual, so that weren't an easy move for me. And I tried to seduce a little old lady.
Can we back up just one? And by the way, this is something we've been talking about a lot because he recently had a bit of a heterosexual scare as well.
What do you mean?
I think it was a homosexual scare.
Wait, you jerked off a dude for comedy? For content?
Yeah, that's right. For content, and that's for television. And you can imagine you can't even put it. Oh, there you go.
Is that something there you would consider doing, Logan?
Thank you.
If the views were right,
if the bag was right.
I sent you the tapes.
It was good stuff.
I kind of keep my sexual exposure to upside down dick sucking.
that's the spirit, young man.
I did want to ask a question that is slightly similar, but also completely like not that. Because I feel like you walk the line so eloquently, and I feel like it's right now not socially acceptable to
jerk off a random man.
No, but
it's fine. It's still okay.
But to be in touch with your feminine side as a man, it's in this idea of toxic masculinity is very prevalent, and I think that's something that we've talked about quite a bit. And I would just like to get your like two cents on the aspect of the younger demographic who is dealing with like, I feel like the feminine aspects are the more beautiful aspects of human experience, and we're like kind of be shamed for acting that way.
Wow, way to save something for the end of the episode.
I know.
I had to.
You lot are a lovely conglomerate. You all love one another. You're all taking care of one another. You're expressing yourselves. You're on your journey. You're very, very, like, some of the energy very, very male. Some of it, like, different. Look, this side of the table, we're exploring it more, aren't we, Andre? We've got some flowing garments. We've got some mysticism. We're a couple of little Rasputin monks sat on there. So, like, I think it's all cool, like, but that we should all... Femininity and masculinity... They are regarded as sexes and genders, but they are energy systems available to all genders. And I feel like, you know, like there is a bell curve, there's a crossover. Like, you know, most men are taller than most women, but not all men are taller than all women. And it's probably comparable to that with essential energies. There's no doubt that being bombarded with certain archetypes, certain images of what a male's supposed to be, influences and biases a lot of people's journey. As long as you're not inhibiting or ignoring something in yourself that you want to express, then, you know, some people are very sort of overtly male. That's a type of energy.
That's what I was gonna ask you to preface, like what feminine energy or the feminine side means to you, because like I really do like exude a lot of masculine energy
BDE.
And
like BDE,
like
big dick energy.
Yeah, but I was gonna.
I mean, it's a thing. I mean, it's kind of
no,
like the,
no. I mean, not just that. Just like you're my roommate. Is there a feminine side of me you'd like
to see
more?
Well, the feminine side is more so just being in touch with your emotions.
Yeah, I need work on that.
The ability to feel.
Yes.
Which I think is like so essential to having a complete human experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You just do listen to Andre. That's what I was saying. You'll be fine.
We've done a good share of it. I mean, are we at risk as a society right now for the toppling of our culture as a result of toxic male masculinity, dick energy? Sucking stuff.
And I think the archetype like, are of the president of a man who's living in his own erections with Trump is like perfect example of that on a mass scale.
Uh-oh.
But we don't got to go there.
He did it. He went fucking political. Spencer, he walked that line.
Spencer would never.
But you just made a straight up Trump dig, and you will suffer for it. We've made this mistake in the past, man. You will suffer.
His Instagram is Andre Dukem. Middle name The Duke.
Leave him a comment, a DM if you feel like his statements about our great, but also neutral. I have neutral feelings on him. President Trump.
Any final message or note or I don't know. It's the start of a new decade. Any word of advice for anyone listening? Just general. It can be super macro, but I'd like to just pick as much wisdom from you as possible.
Let's go within. Let's take some time to evaluate what the things are that are stimulating us and what the things that are controlling us. But you, mate, like, you know, I think you're doing fantastically well. I'm not, you know, I'm really flattered that you're interested in my opinion and advice on stuff. But look at what you're creating. You're doing fantastically well. Trust yourself.
Thank you.
Interested is not the word, by the way. He's enamored.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Enamored.
My heart.
He's been talking about this Russell Brand character for a week and a half now.
Beautiful. If you need anything from me, I...
there for you.
Appreciate you, brother. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Russell, where can they find you on social media?
Rusty Rockets on Twitter. I'm on YouTube doing stuff. Oh, God, can you do it for me?
Yeah, I'll do it. It's Rusty Rockets on Twitter, and it's crazy to believe it's at Russell Brandt on Instagram. And also, please listen to the podcast that we did. His, is it on Luminary?
Yeah, Saturday. I mean, when does this go out?
This tomorrow will be out Tuesday.
Okay, so it's on now. It's on now.
Yeah, okay, cool. So it'll be up. Yeah, check it out. I'm sure there'll be a link somewhere for it. We love you. Hit that subscribe button. We will see you next time. We freaking love you. Take it easy, man.
Peace.
Wow. Well done.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.